This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted, though. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike Swingman, and look at him there. He's. Did you just finish having sex? Oh, I see what you're doing. Mike is having a little toke of an imaginary marijuana cigarette. I love it. Mike North, how are you, my friend? Or I should say, how high are you, my friend?
All I'm going to ask you is the audition for Gabby Hayes almost over with? The Gabby Hayes story, who was a famous cowboy, for all you knuckleheads that are under 25, just check him out. He was always the trusted sidekick. He was Ed Norton before Ed Norton, okay? He was the trusted sidekick of Gene Autry, of Randolph Scott, of Roy Rogers, of John Wayne. He did it all. Him and Walter Brennan. You check those two guys out for trusted sidekicks. How are you, my friend? What's going on? By the way, if I can, a little bit of serious stuff I'm hearing out of Afghanistan, and we know this guy's going to go down as the worst president, whoever was in there. We know that. The approval rating will sink to the 20s after this debacle. Not that it's important what his approval rating is. I'm a veteran. I know all the veterans are hurting today. We put our tails between our legs, but they didn't even want to wait till the date. There's been two suicide bombings at the only gate that people are really at. There's been multiple injuries, deaths, Afghans, U.S. soldiers, and it's just a shame. We hope everything works out, but these guys are sitting ducks right now, so there have been two suicide bombings so far. That's the latest we know, so we wish them nothing but the best. In the meantime, it's time for us to move on. There's nothing we can do about it. There's incompetent leadership, and people got to be fired, just like a football team. If you don't have the right coaches, you got to fire them. If you're not listening, you got to be fired. That's just the bottom line. Everybody told them on both sides of the aisle. When mainstream stations are firing on you, it's all over for everybody. He may be the great uniter, Joe Biden, of this country after this. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, Aldo, because I had to feel that we have to keep everybody a little bit up to date. But it's just a debacle. It really is.
Yeah, and I just want to let everyone know that those views are Mike's views and not necessarily those held by myself or anyone at the Barroom Network. So,
And the other way goes around too. Even if the Barroom tweets something out, I retweet it, but we always have our own points of view. That's what we do. Here's what it's unmistakable. We know who the president is. We know what the situation was. I don't care. I understand where I don't talk politics at all anymore, hardly. But this is just too recent to if anybody wants to question my opinion, then I wouldn't want to be fighting with you. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. I was taught from the very beginning when I was in the service that you don't leave anybody behind. So we'll see what happens, Elds. We definitely see what will happen. Hopefully think something good will come out of this at the end.
Yep. There's still a lot to unfold. Absolutely. Yep. Speaking of unfolding, how about our Chicago White Sox? And what are you making of the fact that they kind of look good some nights and don't look good some nights? Where are we at right now with our views on the Chicago White Sox?
Do we know, besides Lance Lynn, that every pitcher we send out there, we got a great shot of winning? Because last year I felt like we had a better shot of winning with Giolito than we do this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last year, but Giolito was the ace of our staff.
Right.
Okay. Bottom line is, I like what Dylan Cease did the other night, but you're right, it's sporadic. And then La Russa, I have no problem. I know people hate it. I've been undressed in public. Hell, I've been undressed in private, and it wasn't pretty. You've been undressed in public, probably not in public, but by bosses and stuff like that. Did Tony La Russa pick on the catcher a little bit and blame him for something? Yeah, I think he did. But that's the way that he does things.
Right.
In this world of really where it's been a gentler, kinder type of situation in sports, with the way coaches are now, he's an old school guy. That's the way it's going to be. It's going to be his way or the highway. And I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf has a problem with that.
Right.
I really don't.
Well,
we had Robin Ventura, Terry Bevington, Renteria. They're the other way. They were the other way. So I'm not going to argue that another way wouldn't work. But he's your manager of the year. They got an easy division. They're not going to be tested till the playoffs. I don't expect them to go to the World Series. I don't. Surprise us, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's my attitude, too, is like, please surprise us.
Right. Come on.
What did you make of the incident the other night? And I did not see this live, and I really didn't have an opportunity to look into it further. But apparently Tony La Russa was not happy with his catcher. And now I'm forgetting his name.
Zavala.
Yeah. Who called a fastball on a 3-0 count to a home run hitter, and publicly, you could say publicly, with the cameras around him, this is him yelling at his catcher. What did you make of this situation?
Well, yeah, that's the incident I was talking about just before here, because he undressed him in public. Now, what people will say and what he could say is we're in the dugout, but you know you're on TV, right. So you know that every major organization. I mean, back in the day when you were doing TV, when I was doing TV, if we got that cut only, if we would be heroes. I mean, you know, that's the cut of the night. So that's what everybody saw. Once again, he doesn't care. And I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf cares. I really don't. They got his back, and he's going to be manager of the year unless there's an upset somewhere. I know that the Yankees are playing much, much better now. I know that they're in a tougher division, not much, but the Sox division is the jokes of joke. Nobody's above 500. So I'm feeling he's going to be manager of the year. And you know, he didn't take a lot of pushback from that. I didn't hear as much pushback from this as I heard about Mercedes, the Mercedes stuff. When he said, you know, took him on the red carpet and said, guess what? You and I got a problem. I thought I heard more about that than I heard about this. I think this was squelched because people have learned a lesson about Tony Russo. He's got his methods, and it seems to be working. Because I never heard of this catcher until this year.
Yeah.
He's not done a bad job.
Yeah. For the most part, he's done, I think, a credible job. There's no doubt about it.
But it was wrong. He asked him, how are you calling that pitch?
Yeah.
Well, did he call it? Because I thought La Russa called the pitches. That's what all the signals are.
Yeah, I don't understand.
The signal I give is the sign of the cross. Right. I'm like this usually.
Right.
But he gives the signals out. Now, maybe he got the wrong signal, or maybe he decided to let this guy shake him off. And La Russa said, maybe in a pre-show meeting, or pre-show like we do that, pre-game, don't shake him off on this batter. Who knows?
Joe, who is the co-host of South Burbs Hitman, says that was one of Savala's worst defensive games since he came up. And the other thing is that Lance Lynn...
Well, that's why La Russa was steaming about... I don't think La Russa was steaming about one thing with him. Excuse me for interrupting, Alex. But I don't think he was. I think he was steaming about a number of things.
Yeah.
And then it just came to a head.
Right.
So Joe's right.
And the other thing is that Lance Lynn throws like 90% fastballs during a game. He's got a four-seamer, he's got a two-seamer, he's got this and that, all variations of fastballs. So maybe that was the confusion, was which fastball was called. And it should have been a pitch in the dirt, you know, a waste pitch.
Let me ask you about something disturbing. Because I wasn't even allowed to do this. What is this with them taking their hats off and checking on cards for every batter? I mean, have you seen them take their hat off
yeah.
and they look at these cards? When did this start happening?
I think
are these guys too stupid to remember where to play people? I mean, seriously. I'm looking at a pitcher. He takes his hat off. He goes, okay. Then I see a right fielder. Okay. Whatever happened to this? Move to the right. Move to the left. You know? I mean, my God.
Yeah, I think that's because typically there's a man on base when they do that, and the catcher has changed the signals, and so he looks into the hat to see, okay, so now with a man on second base, the one means a curveball, blah, blah, blah. I think that's what that's about, but I'm not.
I'm going to tell you, here's what always worked for many of the pitchers I watched, from Don Drysdale to Joe Horland to Sandy Koufax to Warren Spahn. One's a fastball, two's a curve, three's a slider. And then four, you're out. That's it.
I love it.
What the hell's going on? They're looking at sheets. They got printouts. They're going to have a fax. They're going to have a machine out there on the mound. Let me get the printout of how this guy bats. What happened? Everything's gone south.
John says Tony La Russa can get away with being old school on today's players because unlike most MLB managers, La Russa has World Series rings. He's got three of them.
Good yeah, man. And I agree with John. John, it's good to see you again. It's good to see you still got the look of a man that is stalking somebody, but that's beside the point.
Good looking man
who is this guy walking 20 feet behind me at about 9:30 at night. I guess I start to get a skip in my stuff. No, John's one of the best. I've known John forever. He's right. The Russo's got credibility. You can't argue with success.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you carry? Do you reach for your mace when John's behind you?
Mace? Are you kidding me? I don't have anything. I know this is going to be a shock. I don't carry anything. I rely on my pugilistic skills,
nice.
Which gained me that 9-14 street fighting record, which means it wouldn't be good. My God.
C Simps 41 says, "Bring back the monsters in the morning." That was
Great story about that. We end up getting hired at Channel 2. They did some add-ons and it didn't work. And I knew it wouldn't once they did that. But with the original intent, I went in there and pitched, and then I had the song by Monsters in the Morning.
I
played it for Bruno Cohn, who was the new GM of CBS. You know what he tells me? Too many horns. Too many horns. It's Chicago. They got nothing. They're in the Hall of Fame. For God, well, not at that time. But please. Right. But this is one of the top groups of all time. They come in to MGM Studios, do a song for us, and that's what you tell me? Too many horns? I knew we were doomed. Well, you weren't there. I don't have to tell you.
Oh, yes. There were some crazy people running the stage when I was there and when you were there.
Doomed. The word of the day.
Doomed. Hey, before we get off the topic of the White Sox, I want to play something for you. You have not seen this yet, and I just want to let people know that Mike and I are working on his autobiography that's going to be released in 2022. It's going to be something unseen before in the history of autobiographies, the way we are doing this. Mike came up with just a brilliant idea. And so we've been teasing this upcoming autobiography. And Mike, you have not seen this one yet. So let me know what you think.
Even before I got into radio, I knew that he was somewhat of a knucklehead because, he alienated White Sox fans by immediately charging them money for a free product that they had been getting on TV. So he screwed that pooch up. But I also liked him. He picked up Pudge, Fisk. He also saved the White Sox. With Jerry and me, it's always been love-hate. He's been mad at me forever, but we've tolerated each other. I think, he'll always blame me for him getting rid of Reniac and Gallus, Rob Gallus. I was the major culprit there. I've been mean-spirited to Kenny Williams, and he deserved it. Darren Jackson, Ed Farmer, name them. I was hard on the White Sox, and he didn't like it. That's just the way it goes. I've been in his head for years. And you know what? I said, if I was your right-hand man, you'd win more than you're winning now. He told me I reminded him of his father. I go, did you hate your father?
That's awesome. You know what, though? There's a long-ranging discussion on Reinsdorf. A lot of great things that I say about Jerry. I love him. He's a mentor. He's a guy that's brought me into certain conversations. To me, to let a guy like me have access to him when a lot of other people don't have access, that are in, you know, bigger positions than me, was great. There's nothing I wouldn't do for the guy if he needed it. He's been there for me before. But yeah, he allowed me and him would go out to breakfast. That's the conversation we would have sometimes. I'd be pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame them for being mad at me at the time. And I don't blame them if they're still mad at me. But you know what? It was business. It wasn't personal. But maybe I got personal sometime. You know, but they did too. So
style. It's your style to trash talk.
Well, yeah, but you know what? With him, Jerry allowed me to say stuff like to him in person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But you can't own a team for 30-some years, have me grow up in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, here's another thing people don't remember. Nobody promoted the White Sox more than me. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And the White Sox, nobody. And still, I'm a White Sox fan. I'm happy this year that this is absolutely maybe a huge year for the White Sox. You know, I didn't think the rebuild would work, and it really, I didn't think it would work before they got Lance Lynn, before they got La Russa, before they added pitchers, before they brought in Hendricks. Well, yeah, but you give full credit to the organization for that.
Mm-hmm.
What right. I didn't think or think, because I've been right about the White Sox, but if they win this thing, and you know what, it looks to me like Jerry finally let go of whatever perceived purse strings there were. But as far as he's concerned, as far as Jerry Reinsdorf concerned, I love the guy. I do. That's why we're sitting at Gibson's together. I mean, you know, I really do. And when I was at the ball game, I knocked on the thing and they said, excuse me, who you at? And who are you? And then I ended up going in. So it's good stuff.
Mike, I put that together this morning and I listened to about 45 minutes. Mike and I did a pre-recorded research stuff for this on this topic, 45 minutes on Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
And it was filled with so much material.
Yep.
And what was clear was your respect for Jerry Reinsdorf. And we start off that little bit with he was a knucklehead because, yeah, he made knuckleheaded decisions like putting the White Sox on pay-per-view when they were not a franchise with any legitimacy at the time. He made some bad moves.
Harry move was the one that precipitated.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Harry Carey, Jerry let him go. Jerry doesn't like to see the product bashed. That's why when I brought up Hriniak, Gallus. Look, I was the main guy at that time firing on him about certain things that weren't happening right.
Right.
And it was very uncomfortable at times, especially if I go to White Sox games, because they carry that stuff on their sleeve. They don't like Jerry doesn't like the product bashed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. But if it deserves bashing, yeah. But how much bashing have I done? Like this year, for instance. I mean, all you had to do. I mean, I didn't bash in 2005. I didn't bash I'm not bashing this year. I was the first, and everybody knows this. This almost reminds me of the Bears, which we'll talk about soon.
Oh, yeah.
Like with me and Trubisky. I've been in La Russa's camp since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bashing. Did I bash Robin Ventura? You're damn right I did. Mm-hmm. Did I bash Terry Bevington? You're damn right I did. And if when I did it before anybody, or because either they were afraid to, or maybe I just got foresight.
And thank you for bashing those guys because they were awful.
Well, somebody, I mean, you know what? I mean, people, look, you got to understand. I've been following baseball since the late 50s. I know what's good. I know what's bad. I watch baseball every night. Mm-hmm. I watched the Minnesota Twins upset Boston last night, you know. When you gamble on games, Mm-hmm. Oh, do you see bad baseball teams? Baltimore finally wins a game last night. This year, I've hardly bet on the White Sox because the system doesn't show. That's why the White Sox have overperformed. And how about this little tidbit? You know, Eldo always says to me, Mike, please, okay, you're on this station, you're on that. Do something different. Come up with something clever.
Did I say that?
No. But here's what I said. The San Francisco Giants are like and the top three. I think they're number one in home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Name me their home run hitters. No, here's what they got. They got a guy like Yastrzemski who's got 20, but he's still having an off year.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got, listen to this, like 11, 12 guys with over 10. Well, you're talking over 120 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're winning, because they can hurt you at different spots in the lineup. That's why people still don't believe in the Giants, because when you look at the Giants, you look at Brandon Crawford, you look at Belt, you look at Posey,
right,
and it doesn't knock you off your feet until right. You look at what their whole roster's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, I like the White Sox. I love Jerry, but Jerry and I have had, I mean, you don't go 30 years, but see, Jerry and I have always been honest with each other.
Yeah.
And I'm honest throughout, and we'll play more cuts of the interviews down the line.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the project comes out. But there's nobody I've been more honest with than Jerry Reinsdorf. Nobody.
Lots of activity in the chat room regarding your autobiography. For instance, C. Simps 41 says, a Pappy biography is a day one buy. When does it come out? And so
it's
we'll
coming out right here.
Yeah, we're, that's right. Tune in every week, and you're going to get
BB North is the hot top, the executive producer. Eldo and I are the producers.
Mm-hmm.
We're the also, Eldo's the host. There's going to be all sorts of film. There's going to be archival stuff.
Right.
You know, old pictures. That's what we called. Mm-hmm. New pictures. Pictures like with stuff on Reinsdorf, the whole thing.
Yeah. And it's going to be a multimedia project. So it's going to come at you in a lot of different ways. I don't want to reveal too much because other people will steal the idea. But Mike came up with a brilliant, brilliant idea. And so we'll be letting out more information. And I gotta share this one with you. And lots of great comments on all of the stuff that we've been talking about. But Southburbs Hitman said that Ventura was a turd of a manager. And during the course of you talking about Jerry Reinsdorf, you mentioned that Jerry told you, you told Jerry, I should be your announcer. And Jerry told you, well, you've never done it before. And then you immediately shot back, well, you hired Ventura to be your manager. He's never done it before.
Here's what I said. I said, I've had a couple of different things I've said to him. I said, listen, if I could do baseball, right, standing on my head. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can do it standing on my head, period. I've done basketball. I've done, you know, but I could do straight baseball standing on my head.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and if you don't believe me, why don't you do this? Put me and Ozzy for one game.
Oh my goodness. That would be outstanding.
Ozzy be the analyst and I'll be the play-by-play guy and we'll break all records. I don't care who they got.
You ain't
kidding. Put me and Ozzy on for one game.
Right.
One game. That's all. But they won't. And they're happy with their situation. I don't expect them to change, but don't tell me I can't do something. And that's what I did tell him when he said, well, you've never done baseball before. And I said, well, I never did radio before. I never did a lot of things. Never owned a hot dog stand before. I never did a lot of things before. That has no bearing. I said, besides, your manager never managed before. And you know, don't blame me for him. Period.
Yeah. Q, thank you very much for the compliment. And then this is truly the best way to describe what you just said. Please do that. Ozzy and North, bro, that is epic. And you are right about that, Real Chicago Dave. That would be epic. I'm going to put that promo, just you saying that, I'm going to put it up on Twitter and to see what kind of.
Well, you know what I mean? And Ozzy, you know, I watch him on the post game show. All I'm going to say is we'd be good. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's radio. I don't care if they put us on the web. You know, it's an idea. Like I had an idea for a sports station. I know my ideas for the most part work. If I work with Ozzie Guillen one time,
mm-hmm.
that's all. It would be one of the great Bob telecasts or radio casts or whatever, webcasts of all time. Yep. Period. As far as describing baseball.
Bearstown 19
show. Robin Ventura is your favorite player. Good.
That's my man Gabriel, who is now in
Bearstown. That's not what we're talking about here.
That's Gabriel. He was now a production assistant here at the Barroom Network. Gabriel, you are the best.
I love Gabriel.
He's out there.
Hey, yeah. Dave, I love you, but please.
I love you too, Mike. John says, Robin Ventura was an awful manager. Why do you think nobody wanted him? He was managing in Chicago, not Philadelphia. Still couldn't cut it. Yep, that is a good point, John.
Well, I think you look at managers, and if they're not rehired or even looked at again, then it was a debacle. How many people really? I don't know. How many? Terry Bevington didn't last long. Robin didn't last long. Look at La Russa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's maybe the best manager who ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
And people questioned him. When Ventura got I caught the Cutler ride, the honeymoon, 4 years. And nobody really buried. They couldn't find him the day of the jersey tearing.
Yeah.
When Chris Sale, they couldn't find him.
That's right.
Kenny Williams and others had to go down there.
You know, Real Chicago Dave says, what about Ozzy for manager and then Mike North and Stacey King announcing? Well, I like the idea of Mike and Stacey doing a basketball
game. Oh, wait a minute. Stacey, oh, come on. Stacey's a show in himself. So, you know what? I couldn't do basketball. I'll be straight up. I couldn't do that. And those guys do a great job.
They do.
I'm just saying baseball.
Yeah.
Believe me, 1-1.
Oh, what? Your mic all of a sudden got muted, Mike. Did you mute your mic? I think you may have accidentally hit something. It's saying I can't unmute Mike because he muted his microphone. That is weird. Let's see. Yeah, it's on your end. You must have touched something on the microphone. You got to mute. I hear you slightly. Let me boost up your volume. Talk to me again, Mike.
Testing.
That is weird. It's testing. Not the same as it was before. We'll get it fixed here, guys.
Testing.
There is a volume on your microphone. One of those knobs on the other. No, that's that I can't hear at all. Should we go to commercial break? All right, let me play one of the other Mike North bio segments while we get the audio situation figured out here. Here we go.
Tino Antonacci made nothing but money off me. I'd be at Boss to Pasta at 2 a.m. with 4 or 5 guys. We'd be off for. There's no way he's going to get on the air tomorrow. No way. This is when I was working from 10 to 2. Tino would go, I'll bet you $100 right now he's on the air tomorrow and you won't even notice that he was out. So I'd come on. Hey, everybody, Mike North here on WSCR, The Score, along with Dan Jiggets. Mike, how you doing today? I'm doing good, Jiggs. Everything going good. What'd you do last night? I was on the world tour last night. But you know me, when the red light goes on, and then we'd go to a break, I'd go, oh. And then we'd go back on. Bing, bang, boom. Right? Because nobody driving that's listening to me or any of the guys at the Score wanted to hear that shit that you're hungover. Nobody wants to hear that. Hey, everybody, we're Metallica. We're tired from last night. They don't do that. Hey, I'm Mick Jagger. We're going to put on a show if we can, but we were out late last night, right? Hey, Sinatra, last night I was drunk till 4 a.m. We'll try to give you what you want. They just go out and do it. I live large.
I was a sore loser, man. For instance, Texas. I played softball for 40-some years. I was one of the top players in my 20s and 30s. I won the Hamlin Park Tournament. I'm a kid called the Black Jeans. We won Clarendon. I was an all-star type of pitcher. I'm in the Hall of Fame. But you know what?
I think you got it, Mike.
Am I in?
Yes, you are.
I'm an idiot. I hit something. The wire came unloose. So
yeah,
I'm a moron. I you know what? You don't want me as your pilot, folks. Believe me.
There goes the plane, Mike. But Mike, throttle up.
I wouldn't be Sully. We'd be looking for scuba gear. Sorry about that.
No,
I got excited.
It's authentic. It's real. It's live. That's why we're here. And it's a perfect segue. A goof up like that is a perfect segue to talk about Matt Nagy, because Mitchell Trubisky comes to Soldier Field and just bitch slaps Matt Nagy. Let's just tell it like it is, Mike.
Well, I'm very happy. Mm-hmm. I was happy. At the expense of my favorite football team getting their ass kicked, but yeah, they deserved everything that they got.
Right.
Matt Nagy, once again, has misjudged the quarterback situation. They should have signed Trubisky to the fifth-year option. Then you could still draft Justin Field. You could still draft him if you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God, Jordan Love. Look at that with Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I know it causes consternation, but that's the way it goes. You have to protect yourself in case Trubisky leaves. Right. So that's what they should have done. Dallas, believe me, folks, Dallas wishes they had Andy Dalton back.
Mm-hmm.
As the number two guy. So the Bears have screwed this up once again. I don't care if it was a preseason game. You know, I hear from people in the bar room, from people at AM 1000, from everybody on the airwaves, 90% national. Well, the people we talk to says Trubisky doesn't look good. Or the people we talk to says Justin Fields. Who are you talking to? Because I've gone on shows and told you Trubisky was better, but you don't listen. Last year I said it. He was better than Foles, but people don't want it to say Mike North said that. We just got to go through Bears Barroom, AM 1000. But I'm also in Bears Barroom. I have 80% of the people thinking Justin Fields is going to the Hall of Fame. So I'm always swimming uphill with Mitch Trubisky until this past week. Those days are over.
Mm-hmm.
He was exposed, Matt Nagy. That's what he was. Take it any way you want. And I'll tell you another thing. I've been more concerned about the defense. That's who you got to be. And I don't care if they didn't play this guy or that guy. They don't have Fuller from last year. He was a good corner. I don't care what anybody wants to say.
Oh, yeah.
They got a lot to prove. They got a lot to prove, but one of them you no longer have to prove. Mitch Trubisky was heads and tails better than any quarterback on that field last week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell me it's preseason, then why did everybody basically jizz all over themselves over Justin Fields in the first game? And that mattered? So you can't play both. You got to play them together. You can't play one or the other. Trubisky embarrassed them, and Buffalo treated it like a regular season game to help him embarrass the Bears.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, the starters, there was no scheming and so forth. But you got to look at the eye test. This guy was throwing pinpoint passes. He, you know, there. I just showed highlights what you were talking, Mike. There was Khalil Mack chasing him down, and he rolls out of the pocket, and he throws a pinpoint pass. So you can't say that this guy was a terrible quarterback, but you can say that Matt Nagy just ruined the guy. Ruined the guy. Now he's got a chance to prove the
Donald Trump. I don't think he ruined him. Here's what I think. The media and most of the fans don't even realize we did develop him. He's a developed quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell everybody this. His first year, he was 4-8. First year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, he's 26-13. 9-1 against the Lions and the Vikings. 1-4 against the Green Bay. Okay. So is everybody else. Trubisky
I think 29 and 21, mm-hmm. 64% career, 10,000 yards, 64 touchdowns, 37 interceptions, 87%, highest rated bear of all time at quarterback. Why? Mm-hmm. Why in the when you have a playoff team, do you do this? Because he's not Nagy's guy. Nagy has wanted him out forever. And Nagy has made mistake after mistake from Foles, Glennon, whatever. Justin Fields, if you start Justin Fields in game one, okay, we'll lose. We're going to lose. Now, we might lose anyway. But we're all, believe me,
mm-hmm.
we'll lose because he can't even understand a pass rush. He almost got killed last week because he didn't see it coming. They'll do edge rushing, blitzing. They will have that ferocious front four, and he will be, he could be hurt. He's hurt already. He's limping last week. He's got the groin injury. So let him watch. If you put him in, you're going to ruin him. The only quarterback that's ever made Matt Nagy's offense look good, they let him go to Buffalo. They let him go to Buffalo, and that's fine because next year, because I hear everybody telling Mitch his business. Why didn't he sign with this team? When Daboll gets the head coaching job at whatever place, because I've heard how good this Daboll is,
mm-hmm.
the OC of Buffalo.
Right.
When he becomes the quarterback of whatever crap team he becomes,
yeah.
Mitch Trubisky is going to make a lot of money.
There you go.
Or he'll get hired by somebody else.
Don Burr, a Detroit Lions fan, is saying that you're screaming and that Detroit is the team to watch no matter how you scream. Tell Don Burr what I'm thinking right now.
Well, Detroit, I'm wishing them nothing but the best.
But because, you know, but they suck. Come on, they suck.
Jared Goff and there's other guys, Rosen. All these guys were great quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes them not great quarterbacks is teams that they're on. That's why Mitch Trubisky at 29 and 21 and making the playoffs 2 out of 4 years, it's a mystery to me. When people say he's a bust, no. Jamarcus Russell was a bust. Tim Couch was a bust. When you don't last more than 2 years. And how the hell do you know? When I hear people say he can't read a defense, how do you go 26 and 13 your last 3 years if you don't know how to read a defense? Virtually impossible. Virtually impossible. You can't. You would be, and really, when you look at his surrounding cast, it's been okay. But he has a surrounding cast in Buffalo now.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to use his tools if he's called on. That's all.
Right. Now, one of the things that you talked about just a minute ago was this Bears defense.
Ooh.
And no tackling. They showed no heart against the Buffalo. They came out of that tunnel like wanting to go to the library, not to a football game. It was very concerning.
I'll tell you what. When you can't get up for Mitch Trubisky, or did they want to? Because I had been hearing, he's going to get his butt kicked. And not from that team. They like him. They wish him nothing but the best.
Right.
We got to quit predicting. Most Bear fans should get out of the quarterback prediction business. And most of the media definitely has to get out of it. They're wrong every single time. They were wrong about Cutler, 57 and 57. Wrong. One playoff appearance. They wrong. Glennon, Foles, Trubisky. They're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's a competent quarterback. Sorry. Like Aldo says, when you say the guy's a bust and then you watch what he did to the Bears, so what does that make the Bears?
Yeah.
Eldo knows football. I know football, and Eldo brought up the best thing. I saw it with my own eyes.
Mm.
Eyes. That's what it takes.
He was throwing darts. He was throwing them. I mean, that touchdown pass that he throws in the end zone while rolling out to his right is just a thing of beauty. When he's being chased by Khalil Mack and he's rolling out to a left and throws another dart, that's the eye test right now. This guy's got some skills. And
he's a guy else. He's a guy that threw that 6 touchdowns in one game.
Mm-hmm.
How many quarterbacks?
I was at that game, yes.
How many quarterbacks? And he's a bust? That's what the Chicago and national media try to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they try to tell you. There's no way. This kid is going to – he's 26. We developed the quarterback. Look at his numbers. Look at our wins. Mm-hmm. We did, and we let him walk because Nagy sabotaged him after game three, and their relationship was gone. It's Mitch that told – Mitch didn't want to come back. Who would?
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry about screaming.
I love it.
I love the Bears. I get passionate, but they make the wrong decisions all the time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and it looks like another bad decision was perhaps the drafting of Tevin Jenkins, who is having back surgery, who has had back surgery. We'll see how long he lasts, but this could be in the mold of previous offensive linemen drafted by the Chicago Bears in the first round who just don't make it because of injuries.
Well, Stan Thomas at least played.
Stan Thomas did play. Chris Williams did play for a little while, but those guys just didn't last very long, right?
No, and I'll give you another one. This is, I mean, when you look at this, what happened with this kid. He dropped like the bomb, like the atomic bomb in the draft. Just like Justin Fields. Bear fans and Bear media got to quit thinking like we outsmart everybody when everybody. Look what this Matt Jones did the other night for New England.
Yeah.
What did I tell everybody is going to happen? Belichick said if it was Fields and Jones left, they wouldn't have taken Fields. And look what this kid does. He's got good pocket presence. He's been schooled well. And Justin Fields is running for his life. I'm not blaming him for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. But he reminded me. Give me a quarterback that reminds you of Justin Fields. I'll give you one after. Just off the top of your head, I know it's unfair to just bring this on you, my friend.
He could.
You know I love you.
Russell Wilson is a name that comes up often.
Okay, I'm going to give you a good one.
Okay.
And that's a good one. But Russell Wilson's coming out of college. They're both great. But I sort of knew they made a mistake by passing on Russell Wilson. I think Justin Fields, right now, if he can stay away from injury like this guy did the first 2 years, is RG3.
I had a feeling you were going to ring him up. Yeah. Yeah.
RG3, his first 2 years in the pros, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets dinged up. Then we hear he can't read defenses. Then he gets a different team. Then things fall apart. But the injuries hurt him. He had no accuracy with a lot of his passes. I mean, I watched Justin Fields. He had two over the middle that were tight end calls this past weekend.
Right.
They were right. He had his hands up the tight end. He had to be a picture perfect pass. 5 yards over his head. Mm-hmm. Both of them. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to make the mistake, but he didn't. So he overcompensated. I think RG3's accuracy at times was wanting, but the first 2 years he was great. But if Justin Fields is going to have to run, which he might have to do a lot with this team, Elds, he's better off, I think, sitting if you really believe in him for a while. And preserving him, because this line didn't look good either. So, you know, we'll find out what happens. You know, the key is the first game.
Right.
If we win that game, if we don't, if we get short fields, if we get some turnovers,
absolutely,
and we win that game, everything's good. If we lose that game, here come the Justin Fields backers, you know, so. The Bears like to read everything, and they take things to heart, so they got to be careful.
I think Jim Meth makes a good point here. Says Nagy has proven he can't run an offense or develop a quarterback between his predictable play calls and inability to mold an offense around his players. Fields will not enjoy the level of development he should. And I think that's an important point, Mike, because – we know that Matt Nagy didn't get the best out of Mitchell Trubisky.
And he did good with him. That's the thing that bothers me.
Well, yeah.
He was hard on himself, I think. I don't know. The last 3 years, I thought Mitch did good, and then they benched him, and then he came back and won. I don't know. I think the Bear offense looked good when he came back last year. Montgomery looked better. Robinson was great. Everybody was good.
When Mitch came back, what was the big difference? He said in a press conference, Mitchell did, they're letting me, you know, do the things that I like to do, that I know that I'm good at.
And
that is a concern that perhaps they're going to do the same thing with Justin Fields, not work with his talents And like Jim Meth said, have a predictable offense. I'm a little concerned.
I am too. I saw the same 3-yard passes. You know, I think Fields improvising is good. So I'm hoping everything works out. It's just, and Jenkins, Jimbo Covert once told me, if you have a bad back, you're screwed. Okay, this guy's Jimbo Covert light in his ninth season. The guy may never play an effective down. Who knows? With a bad back, what's going to happen to you? You're not the same. And you know what? He wasn't that good to begin with, maybe. That's why he slid to 70, whatever. So, God, the Bears bring out the beast in me, man. I'll tell you what. You want to see him do the right things, but this whole year we got new defensive coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
New offensive coordinators. Or, you know what I'm saying? So,
sure.
New quarterback.
Right.
Two new quarterbacks, I mean. That's what I mean. So I think it's going to be tough. Out 2 weeks ago, I liked the over 7.5, 8. Now I like the under.
Someone in the chat earlier, I can't find it right away, but said that why would a team have a quarterback who is totally different than in style than the backup quarterback? So you got Justin Fields, who is great on his feet, can move around and so forth. And then you got another quarterback as his backup who just sits there in the pocket and can't move. And that's been happening. You know, you had Trubisky, and the same thing with Trubisky. You bring in Foles.
Trubisky could move. But
exactly.
Trubisky could get out of the pocket.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have Trubisky than Dalton. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
I mean, we had a guy that got us to the playoffs. You got some momentum. You got the defense looking. Allen Robinson is 102 catches. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to see why now Allen Robinson's total for catches is under 93 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe the situation is going to get worse before it gets better. Maybe who knows what happens. But, I mean, they're going to double team him. So somebody, that kid Adams, hopefully he'll step up. But those catches have been great. But even that catch in the end, that was a poor throw.
Yep.
It was a fantastic catch, you know. And Jim Miller even doesn't sound promising right now about Fields. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He says he doesn't recognize this, doesn't recognize that. And Jim Miller will give you 10 times the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I don't know about Jim Miller, but that's a different story.
And RG3, by the way, I saw some guy go, he's faster. And RG3 was a stud the first 2 years he played football. In the National Football League.
He was great. He was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry.
All right. So before we head out, I wanted to touch on the Chicago Cubs.
I love the Cubs.
They've actually won a couple of games here that makes you believe that maybe some of these guys who are building blocks for the future might be no.
You're looking at me like, shut up, Aldo. No, Aldo, I'm not. I never look at you like that. And you know what? You might be right. You might be right.
Oh, I'm not.
I mean, you know, you're right a lot. I mean, here's the thing. I like some of their players,
mm-hmm.
But most of them are minor league guys. And they're trying to get through this thing. I saw the state Wrigley Field the other day. There was like 10 people in it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It just was sad to see. I don't know how my way, I always liked my fast food places to be full.
Yes, that's a good thing.
I wanted them to be full. I wanted them to enjoy the product.
Yes.
I wanted them to enjoy the banter, enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
It just seems like they want to go the other way. I don't understand. Because I do know this, though. Rizzo, I heard him, Bryant, all these guys, Baez, they were all kings here. They are no longer kings.
Mm-hmm.
They're just another ball player with these other teams.
Yeah. Wow. Did you see that video of Javi Baez swinging on a pitch? Like,
looked like me at Dillon's. This guy's gonna hit me in the head. Let me swing now.
I wish I was pulling that video.
He swung before the pitch was even halfway there. Get me out of here.
Gosh, it was unbelievable how early he swung at the pitch. It was like the ball was just released and he's already swinging. It's like, what are you doing, Javi Baez? And Javi Baez is an exciting player to watch play baseball. But man, is he a sucker for swinging at bad pitches.
I'll tell you what, when he connects, he connects. Look, they got us a World Series. It's over with.
Q is happy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's just about Q. Q's always happy. We're on a three-game winning streak with bets right now. I've given out three straight winners, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Hope you've taken them, Aldo. I've tagged the bar room.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
I want to thank Win Daily for 6 wonderful months. We've decided to go in a different direction. And Win Daily was great. I love doing that show. Yeah, but I'm on ESPN 1000. I'm here with the Bears bar room. I mean, it's all good. And I'll tell you what, the picks for baseball, there's some bad teams. But how about Baltimore? Even Baltimore finally ended a 19-game losing streak last night. 19 games.
Wow.
Baseball's in bad shape, man. Abby Baez is more athletic than Avisel Garcia. Thanks. Yeah, Abby was okay. He's got some home runs for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Another superstar.
Yeah. Before we get to your pick, Mike, I want you to share with all of these young bloods in the chat room who Rod Gilbert was, who passed away earlier this week, the right winger from the New York Rangers. If you remember him like I do, he was one of hockey's best players, a playboy.
He was very ruggedly handsome.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Well, I mean, and this is what I love about Aldo, too. Because Aldo, and even Carmen's told me this. I don't know anything about him even dying. How I missed Rod Gilbert dying. I don't know what I was doing where I missed that. But there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare for him.
Yeah.
Well, but I know Aldo can bring something up. He knows this, and I'll know. Rod Gilbert was one of the great, great players in New York Ranger history. Ended up being a very good broadcaster. Dashingly handsome man.
Oh, my God.
With those great Ranger teams of John Rattel.
Yeah. Hatfield.
Vic Hatfield. Eddie Jackman, who didn't wear a mask. That's why he was prematurely gray at the age of 21. I think he was... My God. When I think that these guys played with no mask. And then they showed the mask Tony Esposito used.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was like something out of a horror movie. You know what I mean?
And it was about a millimeter thick.
You know? When New York Ranger hockey was relevant, the captain, basically. Well, Rattel was the captain.
The New York Rangers, Victor.
Sorry about that.
Rod Gilbert was one of their top three players. I mean, and they battled with the Hawks, with Boston, with the Orr teams, and with Sanderson. So God bless them, RIP, baby.
Yeah, I have some highlights here of Gilbert, but
I started this whole thing by unplugging my mic. Okay, I feel so bad. I can't remember. I know there was people that wanted me to unplug my mic numerous times, but not while I was making one of my fantastic points.
That was great.
I never did that when they wanted me to unplug the mic. You can't say that. And to the Detroit guy who said I was too loud, it's called passion. Maybe the Lions could get some of it.
Thank you. Okay, here's that ruggedly handsome Rod Gilbert on the right wing.
Look at it. They knew how to turn.
Yes.
Look at me with the burns. Don't play with me on the alternate. Oh, I'm the captain, alternate captain.
This is Esposito here, I believe.
This is Makita going boom.
That's not Esposito. That's Gary.
That was Makita, 21. Was that number 30, Dennis DeJordy?
Yes. You're right. Oops.
Look at this. How you doing, everybody?
Watch
this. Now I'm going to go like this. That's Buse. That's Phil Esposito.
Uh-huh.
I know them all. Boom. Good night. Good night, Gary Cheevers, the goalie. I know the whole damn team. I knew all guys on all six teams. And then they said, we got a great idea. Let's kill the sport and expand to 50 teams. Huh? Let's put a team in Columbus. The only pro team in Columbus is Ohio State.
That's right. And their first expansion, they went from 6 to 12. That's like,
right.
It's crazy.
And I'm like out of nowhere. And they watered down the product. I know they got more world people, but come on. Oh, yeah, he was Joe. He was, like, look at my guy, Jimmy Koretsis. He was. We used to watch hockey together, me and Barnum, 22. We're buddies from when we were 10, 12 years old.
Hey, we're getting a lot of people asking about your dog. How's your dog doing?
Lotto?
Yeah.
Lotto's doing great.
Dude.
Mule Skinner. Why you make up things? Come on, you make me look. But they had, like, back then, you had glamour boys like Derek Sanderson, Rod Gilbert.
Right.
You know, guys like that. And Derek Sanderson was the guy that was considered, you know, the stud, you know.
Big playboy, right.
The white skates, the long hair. That's when there was personality in sports. But Rod Gilbert was like with Namath and those guys. So in that mantle mode, too, back in those days.
It is time, Mike.
I love it. I love, you know what? Take the run line in Baltimore today. Let's see him win two in a row.
Ooh.
Baltimore. And I also have a pick at 5:30 with Barroom tag. But tonight, I mean, today we got a noon game. If you put 100 on a game, maybe put 50 on this. If you put 50, put 25, put some couch change on it. You put 10, put 5, you know, just to watch the game. I'm just telling you right now, I'm looking at the Angels at minus 120. Now, the Orioles came back last night.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody thinks that the Angels are going to look for revenge.
Right.
And believe me, Akers as a pitcher sucks. He's got a 7 ERA. This could blow up in our face. I'm not pretending. This is the read that I came up with, okay? The Baltimore Orioles. I'm terrified to take it, like I am the last three picks. And then I won them all. So I do what the system tells me. I'm 3-0. I don't want to lose this game, but I'll prevent from losing a lot if I cut down on my wager. That's key, the business wager. But Baltimore was the read I got. And I have another game tonight that's strong, too. That will be later on with AM 1000 and Bear Barroom doing great. So just want to say, you know what, just get the rosary out. Maybe get in your, have your wife drive you around in your car like the Pontiff, give the sign of the cross, you know, do whatever, go through the sunroof, you know.
Mike, do you believe in superstition, good luck?
Oh, I'm proof of that. Are you kidding me? Got a horseshoe stuck up my ass when I met B. Everything else, ask my buddy, he would tell you. I was going, yeah, I'll try jumping that third rail. Yeah. Why would that be luck?
Well, because you're on a winning streak now. So,
well, yeah, betting involves luck too.
Yeah.
Last night I saw a line drive, one hopper, the third baseman goes like this, knocks it down, picks it up and throws the guy out. A week ago, that ball was by the third baseman. They don't catch it.
Right.
And I lose. So you know what? I'm a streak player. So I like the streak I'm on. We'll see what happens today. But you know, don't kill the messenger. Just say the messenger. It's not expensive. I had Minnesota on the run line last night at minus 125. Usually if I lose, I pay minus 110 on bets. Usually I said, what's buying a run and a half for minus 125? Minnesota won the game outright. So they got to get rid of that 10th inning rule though. There were several runs scored in the sixth. That game went 16 innings. That's, they got to get rid of it.
It's crazy. What about Q? Q says football's coming. Time to eat.
Oh, don't worry, Q. I'm the only buffet open. Everything else closed down because of COVID. When it comes to football, I don't want anybody goes anywhere else. They're out of their minds. Not after the 5 years I've had. Are you kidding me? Now, thank God I survived the first 35. You know? It's no fun asking your wife that you have to go to the bank.
That's a story for another day, because that's a priceless one. All right.
5 years.
All right, everybody. Remember to follow Mike at North to North on the Twitter machine, and make sure you follow Bar's Barroom or Barroom Network.
Barroom, the Barroom, and AM 1000. Love you all.
And Friday night, 7 p.m. ESPN 1000.
No, we're being preemptive. You know, the White Sox have just stolen our thunder.
Oh my goodness.
So we'll be on Saturday morning. We'll have the podcast out Friday afternoon, and we have the show. Every encore, 8 o'clock, with football coming up, college football and stuff. That's the encore. Is going to be a big one for us.
Outstanding, outstanding. We'll be watching.
Sorry about the mic, folks. I'm a professional. And even, you know, that's the way life is.
But it was fun. Trust me.
It was.
Say goodbye, Mike.
So long, everybody.
We'll be right back.